I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is from 9 to 11 o'clock, your safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. This is a two-hour antidote to red and blue Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Too late. That's a message that should have been delivered probably 20, 30 years ago, but for just hours a day here on WYAB. Facts do matter. I cover a lot of facts here today. They're not always pleasing to people, but we try to deal in some level of reality here. So got plenty of that to get to today. I went overboard again with my quotes of the day. I just keep finding things that are appropriate for the times that we're in. This was Charlie Chaplin. My friend out in Denver has become a big Charlie Chaplin fan, read his autobiography. Sounds like a very fascinating guy. I'm going to have to check it out. But he says, as for politics, I'm an anarchist. I hate governments and rules and fetters. Can't stand caged animals. People must be free. That's Charlie Chaplin. Another quote here from Ray Bradbury. Kind of getting away from the Founding Fathers, getting into some pop figures here. Ray Bradbury says, we bombard people with sensation. That substitutes for thinking. And we certainly know that's true these days. Thomas Paine, to argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead. And this is what we see going on every day, particularly in social media. You've run into that, haven't you? You can assault somebody with the facts, but if they refuse to apply any reason to it, it really doesn't matter. And then one here from Ron Paul, the closest thing we've had to a founding father in several generations. Ron Paul says, and this is why I was drawn to the Ron Paul campaign and to libertarianism as I am now. Ron Paul said, I don't know how to run your life. I don't have the authority to run your life. And the Constitution doesn't permit me to run your life. We had a chance to make that man president of the United States. You Republicans out there, you really screwed the pooch there. You let the establishment tell you he wasn't electable. They tricked you. They gave you John McCain and Mitt Romney instead of an actual conservative that would have shrunk the size of government. He says, I don't know how to run your life. I don't have the authority to run your life, and the Constitution doesn't permit me to run your life. Meanwhile, I've been watching for 30 years, and most politicians who seek office, that's exactly what they want to do. To counteract all those, we get the Babylon Bee headline of the day. Trump preemptively pens dying wish, canceling out RBG's dying wish. Yesterday I was watching something. I think it was on Fox News. I'm pretty sure it was. And they were interviewing a couple of Congress critters, one Republican and one Democrat. Look, a lot of people out there just love bipartisanship. You may be one of those people who just say, oh, can't they just get along and reach across the aisle to get things done for the American people? And I am that lone voice out in the wilderness going, no! When they get together and do something, it's worse. It's almost doubly worse. They have this group in Congress that I guess I wasn't really aware of. It sounds like something from an after-school special. The House Problem Solvers Caucus. From where I'm sitting, maybe the most ineffectual caucus that has ever existed on Capitol Hill, the House Problem Solvers Caucus. Apparently this is 25 Republicans, 25 Democrats, and they call themselves the Problem Solvers. Does that not sound like some kind of a Saturday Night Live skit or an after-school special? Well, I tell you what, I don't know. I'll reserve my judgment. I like to see people get along just as human beings, but 25 Democrats and 25 Republicans in Washington, D.C. telling me they're going to solve my problems is absolutely laughable. We'll get to debate in a minute, but the Super V recovery rolls on. 840,000 Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week, worse than the 820,000 expectation, but slightly better than the upwardly revised 849,000 the prior week. The reason that this is so amazing to me to watch is I might be the only person that you hear that from today. 840,000 Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits. This keeps us at over 800,000 to a million for the past 12 weeks, maybe. This is after we had some of those record shatterers when the lockdowns were really in effect and we had millions laid off in a single week. But this number of 840,000, if this number was uttered at any time prior to 2020, it would be headline news. The stock market would be down 15% in a day. Everybody would be talking about this, and now it's like this boiling frog syndrome. Now it's just another week of 840,000 Americans losing their jobs. Now, some hiring is still going on. They did have a statistic that showed that job openings had actually slowed for the first time since the beginning of the, air quotes here in the studio, recovery. But that 800, I mean, it's just absolutely a stunning, stunning statistic. And yet we just don't even notice it anymore, particularly during the course of a campaign. In the category math is hard, somebody noticed they looked at Treasury Direct. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. Nobody ever looks at them. But you can actually go online and look at things like the U.S. debt, and you can look and see how many IOUs the Treasury Department's putting out, how many bonds they're selling. I know this is very dry, boring stuff, but this was a little amusing to me. In a time of unprecedented fiscal stimulus, one would think that the U.S. Treasury would at least be able to afford a recent version of Excel or at least calculators, but one would be wrong. Because a quick look at the Treasury Direct website disclosure of monthly and annual interest paid on Treasury debt reveals something very odd, and they have from September of last year through October of this year, from October of last year through September of this year, and they calculate the interest debt paid, and they come up with $102 million and more, but $368 billion in interest expense. The problem is when you look at the actual columns from each monthly interest payment made, the total is actually $517 billion in interest. So the Treasury Department is understating the amount of interest paid on the debt by 30% on their own website. Now, again, this is another thing, too. Much like I scratched my head at why 840,000 Americans filing for first-time unemployment, which is quadruple a normal week. Quadruple. You understand what I'm saying? Quadruple what you would normally see, why that is not news week after week after week, but a fly landing on Mike Pence's head is. We're in a banana republic, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to tell you, we are there. We are absolutely there. But it is also interesting to me that there is no discussion in any of the debates. I didn't see it last night. I certainly didn't see it in the first presidential debate. We'll talk about the other ones coming up. Trump's pulling out of the second one. There's no mention of the interest on the debt. This is one of the most egregious things that the corrupt Congress critters and prior presidents, and this president included, the political class in Washington, D.C., this is one of the more nefarious things that they have done to you and to me, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren. In the past year, we've spent $517,640,843,766.42 on interest on the debt. Now, keep in mind also, this is at historic low interest rates. Historic lows. $517 billion for all of you out there who think that paying taxes is just patriotic. It's not patriotic, it's idiotic. The fact that prior administrations, prior Congresses, and the ones that are sitting in office right now have saddled the American people with needing to extract from the private markets $517 billion just to pay for the mistakes that they have made of the overspending. Is it any wonder I cannot sit behind this microphone and carry water for either one of these political parties? $517 billion. That's 1 year's just interest. That's not spending on anything. That's not your roads and bridges and soldier salaries that everybody thinks your taxes are going to. That is interest. At historic low interest rates, what happens if interest rates start trending up? Do you know how quickly that number will go to $1 trillion or $2 trillion as debt rolls over into higher interest down the road? And that could start next month or next year or in 5 years. They're never going to pay off the national debt. We know that. Donald Trump's promises before he got into office about how easy it would be to grow our way out of debt, notwithstanding, it's not going to happen. $517 billion is taken from Americans to pay the interest on the credit card that 537 corrupt guys and gals in Washington, D.C. have been running up for the past 30 to 40 years. And that's not a story. That's not going to be asked at the debates. It's not going to be discussed because everybody is so in love with their party or their politician. They just think that the only important thing is getting our people reelected, because if we don't, it's going to be a catastrophe. Well, I hate to tell you, spending $517 billion a year just on interest on the debt. I'd have to look and see. What we pay in interest on the debt is substantially larger than probably the vast majority of countries on planet Earth's debt in total. What they actually owe. We pay more than most countries owe just in interest here, and it's not even discussed. As we follow the Thelma and Louise political parties over the cliff as they hold hands, it is absolutely stunning to me. And yesterday, Donald Trump came out and said he wanted to give everybody Regeneron for free. This treatment works so well on him. He's looking at it. He wants everybody to get the kind of care that the president did, and he's going to make it free for everybody. Now, you know what that means, don't you? You think that means Regeneron? Look at Regeneron's stock today. I would imagine it's gone up from that. So that probably indicates that that does not mean Regeneron has said, well, I think we're going to just make this stuff and just give it to Americans because we're patriotic and we love the USA. Now, if their stock is up today, I'll check it during the break. I have my suspicions. If the stock is up today, it means they're going to sell a bunch of it, and particularly they're going to sell a lot of it if Donald Trump makes it free, because what do Republicans normally say? There's no such thing as free. What Trump is saying is the government will pay for everybody to have Regeneron, and Regeneron will take that sweet taxpayer cash off into the sunset. $517 billion just in interest on the debt. And we still support the two parties that made that happen. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
You know, every time I do these stories on taxation's a big one with me, war's a big one with me, and spending is a big one with me. See, these are some of the big things that I don't ever get out of candidates. Everybody else falls in love with somebody. I look at some of these bigger issues and I go, you know, you're tinkering around the edges best. But it is hard for me to let go of these topics when I get them. I've got other stuff to get to today. We'll get to the debates. I know that's what everybody is talking about, how Mike Pence steamrolled Kamala Harris last night. Meh. I don't know. I watched the thing. It was good. I did need to get some rest last night, and it did kind of, it's that nice pace that kind of lulled me right off to sleep towards the end of it. So it suited my purposes for that. But I guess people, it's a little bit like I do the health show, and a lot of people, myself included, before I kind of woke up, I guess, to nutrition and how it could make me feel, people think if it doesn't kill you tomorrow, it's not worth worrying about. And I guess people, I guess that's what it is. The United States has had such a good run, and people don't really remember real economic hardship here. Oh, sure, we had the big recession, and some people lost some money in housing, and there are some disruptions, but we bounced back from that. And I think people just feel like the United States is invincible, so we don't really need to tackle any of the big things because it's us. People out there saying, well, there's going to be a debt jubilee, these kinds of things, which there would be catastrophic consequences to anything like that. Some people say on the debt, well, we owe it to ourselves. This is what politicians have tricked you into believing. You'll hear some of the politicians say this. Some of the partisan talking heads will tell you, well, with the vast majority of it, we owe to ourselves. Well, do you know what that means? If we decide to just renounce the debt, well, that means there's no money in the Social Security Trust Fund, air quotes around that. All of the pension plans around the country that have got U.S. treasuries, all the pensioners lose all of their income. How about the insurance companies? All of the insurance companies immediately go belly up because what they do is they take the premiums, they invest them in safe, secure things like treasuries to earn interest on them, and then they pay out. That's where they make their profit, is on the return of those. So you'll collapse many industries, securities industry, insurance industry. Look, I'm all for kind of a hard reset. I mean, we've got to take on some pain. What's interesting to me is, I talk to a largely conservative audience here, is that conservatives just refuse to take any pain. And it's always because we live in a constant state of emergency, right? We really can't tackle any of the big things because right now, well, we'll take care of that next time, because right now the whole focus needs to be on just keeping Joe Biden and Kamala Harris out of office and keep these socialists at bay. And that comes up every single election cycle. And what's funny is it ratchets up every time. You know, this one does feel very serious. We really don't want a President Joe Biden, a President Kamala Harris, which will take place, what, about 30 days after Joe's inauguration, should it happen? We don't want those things, but it'd be great if we could walk and chew gum at the same time. Just imagine a scenario where maybe for the last 4 years, Donald Trump supporters had let him know, hey, man, we love you, mean it, you're doing a great job, but knock off all this spending. You told us you were going to pay off the debt. We really support you in a lot of these different areas, but you've got to start riding this ship. You're the businessman. You're the art of the deal guy. Donald Trump's first big spending bill, he said, I'm going to sign it, but I don't like it, and I can guarantee I'm not going to sign another one like this. He was very adamant about that with the first, might have been a close to $1 trillion deficit spending bill that he was signing. Well, he signed 2 cents, and he's kind of softened his language, hasn't he? He's given $500 billion to the black community. He's given free Regeneron. He's sending out $6.6 billion worth of prescription cards out to seniors. He's chomping at the bit to send everybody $1,200. We're giving the airlines $25 billion. We've already done a $2.2 trillion stimulus bill. So there's no accountability, but it's just shocking to me. So let me just tell you what the scenario is and why this will eventually matter to you. It doesn't matter to you now. And many of you listening, maybe there's a chance, particularly if you're in advanced years right now, you may make it. You may have lived, I've said this about my father, who is 90 right now, he's lived through really the most incredible time in the history of all mankind. Born in 1930, during the Great Depression, but too young to really appreciate it. Came into the working world in the 1960s, where he landed a job with Delta Airlines, where he stayed for 35 years with full health care and full pension benefits. The middle class was growing. The economy was just on fire. And now he's 90. He won't be with us too much longer, probably. And so too many people, and particularly conservatives, and I struggle with it morally, particularly because I've got 19-year-old children, and I really think about them. We like to say we really care about our children, but we don't care enough to oppose our party, do we? We don't care enough to hold our politicians accountable. It's more important to us to be a good member of the team than it is to actually hold our people accountable. I keep beating this drum, but particularly in Mississippi. We love to send people up to Congress for 30, 40 years until they voluntarily resign in the middle of a term and are appointed by the Republican Party of Mississippi so they can put somebody else in there to do exactly the same thing, which is basically just doing what Washington does. No bold ideas, no originality, no troublemaking up there. We just like to send our vanilla candidates up to Washington, D.C., in Mississippi, to be sure. But so here's what happens if we don't ultimately hold them accountable. We're all going to be held accountable for this debt. And what happens is you just immediately, just it can happen actually overnight. You can go to bed one night and in the morning find out that your dollars are worth 50% less, 90% less. Usually they talk about taking a zero off the dollar, meaning every dollar you have when you go to bed at night, you wake up in the morning, it's worth 10 cents. That's how much prices have increased, because suddenly the rest of the world says they're not really serious about their money. They can't ever pay this debt off. Why do we keep loaning them money? Why do we keep using their money as an anchor for trading oil around the world? They're not serious about it. They're just printing it. It has no value anymore. They can't stand behind that. And the rest of the world just finally says, you know what, that's it. We're kind of done with the dollar. We're going to, and they'll move on to a basket of currencies or something else. Now, again, for those of you in your senior years, you'll make it, maybe. Government will keep printing money as long as they can. Maybe you'll get out of there. But, man, to look at our children and our grandchildren, who've done nothing wrong except be born at an unfortunate time in history. Now, a lot of people out there say, well, yeah, I know. The people have been talking about that since the 1970s. It's true. It's true. The timing on this is odd. I'm really surprised that the world has put up with the $27 trillion debt. We currently have over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, meaning bills that we've promised, money that we've spent into the future. We have no idea how to pay. And so at some point it breaks. And by then it's too late. You want to see chaos in the streets. I know people are sick of seeing the protest in Portland and Chicago and some of these cities, and you talk about the Democrat-run cities. I hate to tell you, if you have a dollar crisis because we refuse to hold Donald Trump accountable, Barack Obama accountable, Roger Wicker accountable, Cindy Hyde Smith accountable, Thad Cochran accountable, George Bush accountable, because we refuse to hold any of them accountable because we want to be good team, good tribe members. The chaos in the streets is going to, it's going to be, it's like a Mad Max scenario. If you want to plunge 300 million Americans into desperation, $517 billion in interest on the debt over the past year, that's one way to start. See, what Trump and Congress are doing right now in debating these stimulus packages, sending out these $1,200 checks to people, is they're just buying time. They're trying to keep you on the couch, trying to keep that belly full for as long as they can, knowing that it is like a game of Jenga. If we can just get one more stimulus out there, buy ourselves a little more time, they pull that piece out. And they've been pulling these pieces out. And again, they've been doing it for decades, and I'm surprised it's lasted as long as it has. The thing is that as Americans, we refuse to admit there's consequences to this. We have this mass delusion that somehow we're exceptional. The rules of history don't matter to us anymore. It doesn't matter what the Roman Empire did. They didn't have Donald Trump. They didn't have Barack Obama. I don't think anybody says that about Mike Pence, but the consequences of this will be swift and severe. They might be tomorrow. They might be next year. It might be 10 years from now. But in 10 years now, from now, my children will be 29, possibly looking at getting married or settled down or establishing themselves into a career. And I am disgusted by my generation and the baby boomers before me, who sat back and allowed this to happen. And it's one thing to understand that you want to vote for Donald Trump and the Republicans to keep the nut jobs and the left out of power. I get that. I absolutely do. I don't understand the enthusiasm anymore. It's not just a pragmatic vote to keep socialism and Green New Deal and some of the other nuttier policies from the left at bay. The Antifas, the Black Lives Matter movements at bay. I understand all that. It's the gusto with which people support either half of this system. I would have said the same thing about Hillary supporters and Democrats going into 2016. The gusto, the wearing of a T-shirt, I'm with her, like she cared about you at all. Because eventually this will happen. And what will be also equally interesting, I don't know if I'll be on the air or not, be to witness everybody blaming the other side for the catastrophe that awaits us. Now, I don't know if it's completely too late. What we need to do is really, it's like what a heroin junkie, I imagine, faces. You got to go through some pretty dark times, some real detox, some sweat, some screaming, some muscle aches, some writhing around in the bed, a good, really hard week. That's what we need financially here. We just refuse to go through the detox process. We are just cheering for the drug dealer that gives us the heroin that keeps us getting through another day and refusing to admit that we have an addiction problem. And these spending stories, when I get to them, maybe I should just leave them for one segment just as a little, well, there it is. Nobody cares. Because nobody does care. It won't be brought up. None of this will be brought up in any of the debates, because that's not good. That's not good political theater, because both parties, all candidates, are equally complicit in this thing. So it's not good political theater. Now, we'll talk endlessly today about a fly on Mike Pence's head, but we will not talk about the true elephant in the room, which is the absolute catastrophic emergency five alarm fire state of Americans' finances, with no hope in sight of any level of reform at all, anywhere. And again, I understand trying to keep the other party at bay, really, regardless of which side you're on. Everybody, like I started the show with, there's Kool-Aid on both sides. The Democrats think that Donald Trump is Hitler because the Kool-Aid that they drink tells them so. But the enthusiasm of supporting this continuing system is beyond me. And it does make me proud. It makes me proud to have known that I jumped off this two-party train. I got out of the backseat of this Thelma and Louise car. Unfortunately, as far as you can get, you're still dragged along by these two parties. But it's really quite, quite stunning to me. And there will be a consequence to this. It's going to be bad. And you all had your chance. And if you want to sit around, you're going to blame the Democrats. Oh, it's all them and their big spending. You're absolutely 110% wrong about that. That both parties are completely complicit in this. That Democrats might have gotten us there a little bit faster, but I'm not even really sure. When you're spending $1 trillion a year on national defense, $1 trillion a year on national defense, $1 trillion to run a world empire that Republicans have cheered for because they're so scared of a terrorist. It's really kind of hard to blame just the Democratic Party when I see that stuff going on. All right, I'll move on to some more fun stuff. Well, actually, no, people won't like this next story either. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I got a little morose. The $517 billion in interest payments for the past year on the debt run up by these Congress critters that we keep enthusiastically supporting has really kind of tipped me over the edge today. I got to be honest with you. I just wonder, I mean, is there anybody else out there in any generation, particularly baby boomers and Gen X's, and greatest generation too, the World War II generation? There just aren't many of them around anymore, but the baby boomers and the Gen X's should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. I don't see any of that shame anywhere. We just seem like, oh, we've got it all figured out. If it wasn't for those Democrats, we'd have... the two-party system is just absolutely a mess. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and do this story while it may be wildly unpopular. This is what I call the old Trump bait and switch. How's that for an intro to a segment here in central Mississippi, which is certainly Trump company country? I mean, I'm just telling you, these things happen, and I've been saying these things. I don't know, maybe this is my ego talking. I'm trying to tell people, warn you about these things, warn you about the spending, warn you about the Trump administration's picks. His picks, his hires are terrible, absolutely terrible. And people refuse to see it. It is absolutely stunning to me. This was just a story from yesterday. FBI, DOJ hold press conference on matter of national security as tension mounts over Russiagate inaction. Now you look at that headline and you say, oh, look at that. Finally, the FBI and Bill Barr are getting serious about these traitors in the government that spied on the Trump campaign, these deep staters. They're going to finally be held to account. The Department of Justice, DOJ, and FBI held a press conference on Wednesday morning regarding a matter of, quote, national security, which, according to Fox News, will be about the UK-based ISIS terrorists known as the Beatles and not the ongoing Russiagate investigation, as some had initially speculated. The announcement of the press conference initially stoked speculation of some type of action in the ongoing Durham probe of FBI-DOJ conduct during and after the 2016 election, following revelations that the Obama administration knowingly used fabricated information to target President Trump and his campaign, and that Hillary Clinton allegedly approved a plan to smear then-candidate Trump with Russia rumors. And then it was this paragraph here where I just shake my head and I say, I don't know why people can't get out ahead of this stuff. I don't know why we refuse to see the truth when it's right in front of us. Again, this show is about facts. I try to let you know who these snakes are that Donald Trump has hired. Nobody wants to hear it. This paragraph here in the story says, frustration has been mounting among Trump and his allies over a lack of progress, along with direct accusations that FBI Director Christopher Wray, who I warned you about when he was named, and CIA Director Gina Haspel, who I warned you about when she was promoted, are concealing evidence in the case. The reason I call this the Trump bait and switch, I don't even know if it's on purpose. I can't figure out what Donald Trump is. Everybody else knows for sure what Donald Trump is. A good chunk of the country thinks he's Hitler. And another chunk of the country thinks he's Jesus. I don't know what he is. I would imagine that the truth is somewhere in the middle. I can't figure out if he is playing us with all of the rhetoric about changing things and then hiring the exact people who will stop any change from happening. Or is he being duped into it? Does he just not really understand? Who is advising Donald Trump on his picks for his administration? That is really the question. Is it Jared? He's one of the biggest contributors. Is it Rudy Giuliani? Another establishment, deep state Washington snake that people have fallen back in love with because now he's Trump's boy. Who is it that is picking the Christopher Wrays, the Gina Haspels? And I also warned you about this guy. The day he was announced as Attorney General to replace Jeff Sessions, William Barr, this is a tweet sent out by Judicial Watch that is quoting somebody from the Daily Caller. Now, Judicial Watch is actually trying to get to the truth of what's going on in this stuff. The government's not. The Department of Justice is not. A few people in Congress may be trying, but that may just be political theater. This is a tweet yesterday from Judicial Watch, no left-wing rag. This wasn't Mike Madison tweeting this out, quoting somebody, Chris Farrell from the Daily Caller, quote, ask yourself why Attorney General Barr fights Judicial Watch in virtually every FOIA lawsuit seeking records over the Obamagate coup plot. That's what Chris Farrell of the Daily Caller said. Thank goodness Chris Farrell maybe woke up. I bet if I went back and looked at the Daily Caller back when Attorney General William Barr was announced, the Daily Caller told you what a rock-solid, strong choice for Attorney General William Barr is. He's just the man to bust apart the deep state. He's just the guy to carry out Trump's agenda. And I am over on the sidelines waving my arms, flying a red flag going, no, the guy started with the CIA. William Barr is a deep state fixer. I know I say this all the time. I'm just happy to see that maybe people are waking up to this. This is, again, Judicial Watch tweet quoting Chris Farrell from the Daily Caller saying, ask yourself why Attorney General Barr fights, not helps, fights Judicial Watch in virtually every FOIA lawsuit seeking records over the Obamagate coup plot. But you won't ask yourself that question, will you? Because Donald Trump will get up behind a podium and tell you that William Barr is the man for the job, doing a great job. Now, Trump seems to be a little frustrated with him. Is that political theater, or did he actually get duped into hiring a swamp creature? And I've been watching this since day one in the Trump administration and been getting sourer and sourer and sourer. Again, go ahead and vote for Donald Trump. I don't blame you at all. Keep that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris away from the White House. Vote for your Republican senators to keep the Democrats away from control of anything. I totally get that. But to think that somehow something really interesting is happening in Washington, D.C., and that Donald Trump has staffed himself, that Donald Trump is fighting the globalist by hiring about a dozen Goldman Sachs guys when he first got into office, that Donald Trump is fighting the pharmaceutical companies by hiring an Eli Lilly executive to run Health and Human Services, that Donald Trump is ending the endless wars by hiring, one, a Boeing executive and then a Raytheon executive to head the Defense Department. There's just no proof that any of those things are true. There's a whole lot of darn rhetoric. Ooh, there's a whole lot of talking about these kinds of things. It's just not bearing itself out, and William Barr is just another example of that. Maybe, maybe, if Judicial Watch is waking up, because Chris Farrell at the Daily Caller is waking up, maybe he will start waking up the conservatives that have been cheering on William Barr, all this faith in him. Any day now, any day. Ditto for the Durham report. Where is this exactly? Maria Bartiromo, I think it was last week, said her inside sources say the Durham report will not come out before the election. I think it actually, that's probably better at this point. If Durham report comes out and there were any indictments prior to an election, all that does is stoke more civil unrest. It's the worst optic you can possibly have. The Durham report should have come out in June or May or April or March or February or January or last year. But no, isn't that strange? Always big things happening behind the scenes. Lots of rhetoric about the big things happening behind the scenes. No evidence on the surface of it. But the faith is still there. As long as you keep the party energized in the faith that justice will finally be done. Well, Attorney General Barr is not going to be the one to deliver to you. One more time. Judicial Watch tweet. Ask yourself why AG Barr fights Judicial Watch in virtually every FOIA lawsuit seeking records over the Obamagate coup plot. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone, God takes your soul.
Well, my spidey senses were going off for a reason. Yeah, Regeneron stock is up today. It's not up as big as I thought it would be. It's gotten a big bump over the past. I mean, the past month has really seen something. Let me tell you what Regeneron stock has done over the past 12 months. It's 52-week lows, $285.09. That's where Regeneron was sitting. It is now at $602.79. Donald Trump coming out and saying that he wants to make Regeneron free for everybody. We all have the same treatment for COVID that he had as well. I don't really blame him for that. If he thinks he had a good result for it, there's something kind of magnanimous about that and something to be applauded that he'd like to see every American get as specialized care as he did. That's just, I'm watching these pharmaceutical companies pumped. You people talk about COVID. I think the Chinese did this. Chinese haven't benefited from this as much as the pharmaceutical companies. If you want to follow the money, if you want to look for motives, I got to tell you, Anthony Fauci sent in $3.7 million over to the Wuhan Institute. Is anybody talking about that? Nah, we don't really pay attention to that, do we? We give him the podium. Trump does just seem to have kind of put him on the outside of the circle of trust. I am digging that. But it's not stopped Anthony Fauci. I saw him last time on CNN talking to Chris Cuomo. You can just, I don't have to tell you what that segment was about. You can imagine what it was about. Oh, boy. I tell you what, we just live in surreal times. And we could do so much better. You know, I talk about some of the politicians, and particularly in Mississippi, that we would never hold accountable for anything. There is a conveyor belt of people that would be willing to run for office, to hold these offices. I mean, we know that, don't we? What does it pay to be a Congress critter now? 160 grand, 180 grand, something like that? There's a lot of people that would like that job. It's not like we can't find anybody else, but see, the two parties control who actually gets nominated and who gets the party support, so they get to pick all of their candidates. And for some reason, the people just sit back and go, okay. And then even when you get an outsider running against them in the primaries, you just still reluctant to make a change because you're scared that they can't beat the Democrat. I mean, it is just the manipulation of people's minds. The way that we have been put into this psychological cage in this political system is stunning to watch once you're on the outside of it. When you're on the inside of it, you can't see it. This show is like, you see the videos of bubbles, you know, the slow motion, super slow-mo pictures of bubbles where a bullet rips through a bubble. Fascinating. I love really slow motion photography. Pretty fascinating to see stuff like that. That's what the show is. It's the bullet trying to get through these bubbles. I got to tell you, it's harder than a bullet. I don't know what I would consider it. A lot of times I'm rebuffed. The bubbles stay intact. Regardless of what facts you throw at it, the bubbles stay intact. People refuse. There's a whole lot of people in this country for decades now been running around with their fingers in their ears going, no, 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 I cannot hear you. I know you were talking, but I cannot hear you. And that's about the emotional level of our political system. I'll get to debate when we come back. I got to tell you, if you got any takes on the debate, let me know, because I saw it to be a big yawner. I see on conservative media, though, that Pence really knocked it out of the park.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to call in? You want to talk about the debates? I think there's a handbook, some kind of a rule thing. As a conservative radio show host, I have to talk about the debates from last night. It was A little bit yawn to me. I just looked up the ratings. Apparently about 70 million people tuned in to the VP debates. Usually draws about 40 to 50 million, but instead 70 million. So it was a highly rated event. I've got a couple of observations, but it was just kind of a meh to me. I mean, I don't know. I thought they both actually did better than I thought they were going to do. Kamala Harris didn't come off as nasty as I thought she was going to be. She's very Clinton-esque to me, but she's not as bad as Hillary Clinton. I've just never seen anybody that came across more condescending than Hillary Clinton. It's always been kind of my amazement that minority communities or, you know, liberals or just Democrats in general would really follow Hillary Clinton. I just felt like she was just such a nag. She just is so aloof, so elitist. I didn't think Kamala Harris came off quite as angry as I thought she probably would have. She got a lot of criticism for her sneers, and that's what's kind of Clinton-esque, you know, in her debates. Clinton's debates with everybody, but with Donald Trump, she did her little sneers and smirks and those kinds of things. If I was in a debate and my opponent was lying, I would do a big belly laugh. I think these things need a whole lot more humor. This is one of the things that I thought many times Ronald Reagan did well in these things, but they need a whole lot more humor. But some of the things that these candidates say are simply laughable. I thought the most interesting thing that I came away from that debate last night looking at is that, and I have to admit, I didn't check into as much liberal media as I normally do. I like to see what they're thinking, what they're saying. I'm not in the bubble. I can look at everything. I didn't look and see, but I can't imagine that Kamala Harris did not tick off a ton of liberals yesterday. What did the real lefty liberals think yesterday when she, I mean, from where I sat, and I'll admit, I was doing some other things while this thing was going on. I wasn't glued to my set. It did not have that kind of charisma for me to be paying attention. But it seemed like she was borderline endorsing fracking, refusing to say they'd get rid of the Trump tax cuts. There was just a whole lot of things in that that it seemed to me that would be wildly disappointing to a liberal audience. What else was it that she talked about? There were several, the Green New Deal. She tried to disavow the Green New Deal. You know, they say that you campaign to the left when you're in the primaries, and then you move to the center when you're running for president. The translation of that is they have no core beliefs. Neither one of these parties, none of them have any core beliefs. Republicans do the same thing. They campaign far to the right during the primaries, and then they move to the center, and then they govern as just a Washington, D.C. insider, no matter who it is. But it seemed to me, so if Kamala Harris lost any of the liberal voters last night, because she essentially came off as a complete centrist, and she doesn't have any Republican voters, she certainly is not getting anybody from the Trump camp. It was funny, I saw they were running a poll yesterday on Drudge Report for who won the debate. And I noticed that the poll was up about 20 minutes into the debate. So just out of sheer humor, I smiled and clicked on it. And sure enough, about 10,000 people had already voted. It was 20 minutes into the debate, which is, you know, this is where our world is. There's no objectivity. There's no thoughtfulness. There's no intellectual curiosity. It is, well, my guy won, of course. Now, I don't know who won. I mean, I don't know that, I guess Mike Pence did fine. I will say, they kept talking before it. I was watching on Fox News. They kept talking about Mike Pence used to be a talk radio show host. I thought, hey, when was he? How long did it take him to get from talk show host into the vice president seat? Maybe I'll take a run at it. Vice president might be good for me. Just a bit of a troublemaker. Just kind of a squeaky wheel. Just talking a lot. Nobody really taking me too seriously. I could probably have some fun with vice president. It'd be difficult for me to carry water for a politician. I'd have to be on the right ticket to do it, but it was interesting. The biggest story was that there was a fly on Mike Pence's head. And here's what I could tell this morning, really, when they talked about the stuff. Now, I'm just going to say this. Gear oil will attract flies. I'm just saying. Regular listeners will understand what I'm saying. Many other people. I have this theory that Mike Pence is a cyborg. And if that's the case, I got to tell you, the AI used last night to run Mike Pence during that debate was pretty amazing. Absolutely amazing. My favorite part of the entire debate was when I heard the moderator say, "We're just about out of time." That was my favorite part. They could not get Kamala Harris to answer on packing the Supreme Court. A non-answer is always an answer. I don't know if politicians haven't figured this out yet. What was striking to me about that is, why didn't Kamala Harris just lie and say, "No, we're not going to do that"? We have no, or say, you could parse it a little bit. I'm just trying to think in a politician's head for a second. It's gross in there, but every now and then you got to crawl inside and say, we have no plans on doing that. We have not discussed it. You know, all of these things that politicians say to make it seem like it's not a foregone conclusion. Because the bottom line is nobody cares if any of these candidates lie about anything. We have seen from all of the uproar about Trump putting Coney Barrett into the Supreme Court. None of these politicians mind completely reversing their positions, whether it's the Democrats who wanted a Supreme Court justice in 2016 and now they don't in complete 180, or the Republicans who resisted it in 2016 and now say it's the right thing to do, doing a complete 180. I was surprised Kamala Harris didn't just flat out lie about it. She must have told 100 other lies during the debates last night. For some reason, she would not pull the trigger and just go ahead and lie about that, because packing the Supreme Court is not a popular thing. It's a nasty idea. And I'm sure they are considering it, and those of us who pay attention know that she would be lying about it, but at least she'd just come out and lie. I mean, it's like she could got to that one and went, I don't want to really pigeonhole myself there. Politicians can't be held down to any position. They are the slitheriest, slimiest creatures on planet Earth, and it doesn't matter what they say, they will be able to get most of their partisans, most of their people, to justify when they do a complete 180 on it. I watch it on a daily basis, so I'm not sure why she didn't just lie about it. There was one other thing. Pence was criticizing her to some degree about prosecuting low-level drug crimes in California, and this is one of the things that I, too, have said about Kamala Harris, that she's nasty, and I'm not sure why liberals like her, because she was so hardcore in California, up to and including keeping some innocent people in jail. When they'd proved their innocence, she kept them in for a little bit longer because they didn't fill out their forms properly. She was hardcore. It was just interesting to listen to a Republican say, "Hey, you went a little hard on crime out there in California." Now, I hope that means that Republicans are starting to wake up a little bit to this idea that policing individual behavior when it comes to a joint is not only probably unconstitutional, but it's just dumb and a waste of police resources. I hope it means it's a change. It was just interesting to see the Republicans saying, "Hey, you locked up a bunch of low-level drug guys," and the Democrat having to defend having done that. It's interesting. I hope it's a bellwether of things to come, that Republicans are starting to sour a little bit, at least at the fringes of the drug war. The whole drug war is a disaster, but at least maybe you're softening, or it's just they're going to support Mike Pence no matter what. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hi, I'm Mike. How are you today?
Hey, good, Robert. How are you?
Good. You know, you said something a little earlier about accountability and all of this. You know, we as a society, we demand more accountability out of a guy coaching a high school football team.
Good point.
Than we do any, I mean, even a mayor or a city council.
Yep.
But we demand more from the high school football coach than we do the principal or the superintendent or the school board of that same daggum school.
That's an excellent point. You're exactly right. And you know why? It's because it's easy. We like the easy stuff. We like the thing. I mean, it's one guy out there. You can chant real loud, and you can cause a ruckus and cause them some problems, and they may have to, you know. Hell, when you talk about that, a youth soccer coach is the same way. You know,
absolutely. We take,
yeah, that's a very good point.
You know, much less what we hold the governors or the state legislators or anybody in Washington, the accountability that we hold to them, and. You brought up just the Supreme Court thing. You know, 4 years ago, both sides were making the exact opposite argument they are today.
Right.
Exact opposite.
Yeah.
But then they'll both sit there and say, well, we need to hold them accountable for what they said 4 years ago.
Right. I know.
Yeah. How can you sit there and with a straight face? I mean, that's when you know that's a professional politician. When they can, 4 years ago, demand that their Supreme Court nominee get voted on, and then 4 years later say that shouldn't be going on.
Right.
And can do it with a straight face.
It is one of the most glaring examples, too. And I don't blame politicians. They're scumbag liars, snakes. What I don't understand is the general population who goes along with it, who allows themselves to be tricked into carrying the new talking points, you know, allowed themselves to be turned into a complete hypocrite. Regardless, if you want the results, when it comes to the Amy Coney Barrett thing, I mean, I think the talking point is easy. We had the power to block Obama's guy in 2016, so we did. Now we've got the power to put one in. That's what elections are about. But they don't even do that. They try to make it out like they were never inconsistent. Just the only consistency is the Republicans held controls both times, so they get to win. I mean, that's all it was.
The only time that you hear one of them actually tell the truth somewhat is when you hear, and you do hear it occasionally, when somebody will say, elections have consequences.
Yeah.
Well, what he's saying is exactly what you just said. Hey, we won. We're making the rules.
Right.
That's what the rules are.
Lindsey Graham is just the most, I mean, that is one of the most stunning things, watching Lindsey Graham try to squirm out, because he's such a pompous little piece of garbage. And he did that whole thing in 2016. You can record me and play this back and hold me to account for it. If a Supreme Court justice comes available in Trump's last year of Trump's first term, we will not put it through. And then he had to go and, you know, I can just imagine the war room there where they're like, oh, Lindsey, how do we get out of this one? And finally someone said, well, what if we say it's because they were so mean to Kavanaugh? And he ran with that. He's like, well, the only reason I've changed is because y'all were so mean to Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
that what I said before doesn't matter.
Well, you know, several years ago, I'm a huge baseball fan. There was a great baseball player, and he played at Mississippi State, Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah.
And Rafael Palmeiro sat there in front of Congress and swore that he didn't use steroids.
Right.
And then turned around and tested positive, and they ruined his, they just ruined his career.
Yeah.
They won't let him in the Hall of Fame, and he justifiably deserves to be there. We punished him more for denying using steroids than we do any of these politicians for the lying and stealing and cheating that they do.
Right.
Every
the $571 billion of interest we're paying on the debt, not to buy anything, just to pay off bills run up by other politicians that we enthusiastically supported 20, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, I don't know. There's just not much hope in my mind. The American people refuse to see these things because it's the genius of, you know, Tate Reeves. You talk about the governors or the mayors or people in Congress. It doesn't matter. All it takes is dividing everybody into these two parties. They know they can get away with anything because when push comes to shove, the election comes up and you will be scared that the other team will get the levers of power. So they know that. I mean, that is the... it's the Damocles sword over everybody's head. You can say whatever you want to about this Republican, but at least they're not X, Y, or Z Democrat. That's all they have to say. So they know when they become the president, they've got 4 years to do whatever the hell they want to do, because come election time, all they really have to stand on is, I've got an R behind my name. You're not crazy enough to let a D get in here, are you? And there's, so that's it. The problem is the primary process is where these things should be sorted out. You can always, if you want to remain Republican controlled, and I totally understand the reason for that, then just put the Republicans, and Democrats should do the same thing to their party, but Republicans should just put all their politicians on notice. Look, you told us these are the things you're going to do. If you don't do it, we're going to primary your butt. We're going to get you out of there. We're going to keep Republican control so you can't hang this we're electing a Democrat over our head. We're sure as hell going to get rid of you and put another R in. Like I said, there's a conveyor belt of people willing to take a $180,000 a year job and a bunch of power in Washington, D.C. It's not like it's a bad gig. What, you work about 6 months a year? people fawn all over you. You get treated like royalty. Everything's paid for. I mean, it's a good gig. The problem is the parties have tried to trick us out of doing that by telling us this person can't win. And all of these people who blindly support the parties, send money to the RNC or the DNC, are just feeding that machine, that conveyor belt of only their approved candidates who know they've got us in this trap.
Oh, absolutely. The first responsibility of any politician is to get reelected. And the easiest thing to do is to get reelected.
Yeah.
Because they give you so much money that a common person or an everyday guy or gal cannot raise the type of money it takes to just, I mean, they just overwhelm you.
Right.
With the money.
Yeah.
You just get overwhelmed. And you cannot compete with it.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part.
They've
turned themselves into professional politicians.
And we've got to.
It's a professional job, and we put up with it day in and day out.
And again, I get voting for a Republican. I get voting for Donald Trump to keep the other side out. I'm even attuned to that because the left has gone so crazy. I don't get the enthusiasm for it. I don't get the worship of these people.
The other day we were talking about the ones on the left that are selling socialism. They're capitalists. But the ones on the right are selling fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all they're selling is fear.
Well,
there's no plan. There's no real alternative going on. They're just selling fear. Hey, at least I ain't that guy over there is going to take your guns, and he's going to take your God, and he's going to ruin your life. And he's going to tax you at an ungodly rate. Stay with me.
Yeah. Basically what it is, it's every 4 years or 6 years, depending on what the office is, 2, 4, or 6 years, it's go to Washington, do the bidding of the donor class, and then come back in and tell the people that you love them every time there's a reelection. Tell the people that you love them. Scare the crap out of them for the other side having control. Get reelected. Go back up there. Do the bidding of the donor class. Come back. You know, I mean, this is what they do over and over again. And the results prove that to be true. I mean, that's not really even a theory. You can just look at the results we've gotten. They do the work of the donor class while they're actually in office and then pretend that they're there for all of us little people every election cycle. It's really disgusting to watch. I don't see if not by now. I felt like in 2016 people were waking up. I think they've gone promptly right back to sleep.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Be good.
All right. Got to take a break. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Mississippi needs to play like a battleground state. I know we're not. We're a solidly red state, but we should fake it. I don't know what we do exactly, but for the sake of the Mississippi economy, you know, there's no spending goes on here during a presidential election year. It is absolutely minimal. Mike Espy's had to do some. He's the underdog trying to get over Cindy Hyde-Smith. Cindy Hyde-Smith, to my knowledge, I don't think she even ran any ads on local media until recently, probably the last couple of weeks. She did some response ads. I don't really even know where the polls are on that. I just assume she's going to run right back into office. But being a red state leaves us out of the gravy train. All the money is spent in battleground states. It's got to be good for the economy. Listen to these numbers. Look, my father had a habit of repeating stories over and over. I think that's a bit of a dad thing, you know? Maybe you notice that. You spend a lot of time with somebody. And my dad used to tell that story about where hush puppies came from. I'm laughing. It's not funny to you, but to my friends, because we used to love to go eat at catfish restaurants. And I would always take a friend or two along with me, and we'd all be eating there, and my dad would, it was almost like the over-under. Are we going to get through? When the hush puppies hit the table, or is my dad going to tell the story about where hush puppies came from before or after the hush puppies are actually sat down on the table after we order them? I mean, it was, and so I have the ability to do kind of the same thing. Maybe it's because I'm a dad. Maybe I inherited it from my father. I say that long explanation because I'm not sure if I read this before. I had it on my notes a couple of days ago, but it's staggering enough that I'm going to read it again. And this is why I say Mississippi's got to just pretend like we're a battleground state. You can go red. That's fine. I understand that. We're a conservative state here. But we're not in play. We're not getting on the gravy train. The cost of the 2020 election, the total cost of the 2020 election will approach $11 billion, obliterating previous spending records. That's more than a 50% pricier than the 2016 contest when adjusting for inflation. Even if federal committees didn't spend another dollar from this point on, the 2020 election would still be the most expensive ever. Federal committees have already spent $7.2 billion this year. That figure will increase dramatically in mid-October when congressional candidates report their third quarter spending figures. The 2018 election smashed fundraising records for midterms, and 2020 is going to absolutely crush anything that we've ever seen or imagined. That's what Sheila Krumholz, the executive director of the Center for Responsive Politics, said. Quote, this is already the most expensive presidential election in history, and there are still months of election spending to account for. The unanswered question is whether this will be the new normal for future elections. Now, this does not include this $11 billion. Does not include, for Trump, $6.6 billion in his bribe to seniors of taxpayer-paid prescription cards, $14 billion. It's actually, I think it's now in the past 6 months, so it's around $27 trillion to the farmers, $500 billion in the premium plan for the black community that's going to be given to them for Biden. Don't know how much is going to fund the leftist movements of BLM and Antifa. That's part of the Democratic strategy, apparently. And the massive amounts of favorable coverage that the mainstream media gives the left, if you calculated that in, we'd be talking tens of billions of dollars. And from both parties, the $3.2 trillion they've already spent in bailout stuff, in air quotes here in the studio, stimulus to keep us all docile while they crush the economy and financial futures of millions of Americans by shutting the country down. So by my tally, I would imagine, you know, this election is getting up around $15 billion. I remember I couldn't believe Hillary Clinton spent $1 billion during the 2016 election. But this is when money has no consequence, when you can just print it up out of thin air, I guess it just doesn't matter anymore, and that's where it goes. But again, I say Mississippi, I understand we're a conservative Republican state, but maybe we should play like we're not. get some of this cash coming in here. You know how many media outlets, maybe it sounds like I'm talking up my book, they should be doing radio ads here on WYAB, fighting it out in a battleground state, but they don't have to. Trump knows he's going to take Mississippi. Cindy Highsmith knows she's going to waltz back in, so they don't do it. And I have in here, I guess I should probably take another break, but with all of this money spent, and money spent from the Trump campaign, from all the Republicans out there, I find myself really scratching my head as to why Republicans are not about to run the table. I mean, how is it in this country? What accounts for it? Is it the education system? Is it the media? Are people just so stupid that really when you look at the left in this country right now, it's not serving anybody but a small, small sliver of really, really radical people. I mean, I guess there are people that are dumb enough to think the Green New Deal is a great idea. not understanding that we all share the same planet with China and India that are massive polluters, but you're going to totally remake the entire American economy? I mean, I never underestimate the stupidity of people, but, you know, why Donald Trump has to spend a plug nickel in campaigning is kind of beyond me. We have heard everything we need to hear from him for 4 years now. He certainly has his platforms. He's not scared of the media. He will speak in front of any microphone that's put in front of him. And it's amazing that you still have to spend this kind of money to win these elections. I don't know. Maybe there's some just flat-out corruption in these numbers. Maybe this is funneling money somewhere. Maybe this is laundering drug profits or something. I don't know at this point why in the world people have to spend that much. I guess I'm just somebody who I don't think I've ever seen a campaign commercial where I went, oh, wow, okay, well, I'm going to change my mind. I mean, campaign commercials, just especially in this election where so many people have already decided, they're just preaching to the choir. They almost are pointless. This is why I say that Donald Trump should just be quiet for a while. His base isn't going anywhere. He doesn't need to energize his base anymore. They are so keyed up and ready to roll for Donald Trump, it doesn't even matter. He's got to quit campaigning to his base. I actually agree with a Breitbart column that I'll get into in just a second. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break and then I'll come back. There is a funny commercial for the Democratic Party that you got to hear. See, I make fun of Democrats here. That's just, I don't feel the need to come in here for 2 hours and tell you how bad Nancy Pelosi is. Everybody else does that for you. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I just was scanning headlines during the break. Nancy Pelosi has come out and said there will be no skinny stimulus bill. Trump had floated out that he would go ahead and send everybody their $1,200 checks. Nancy Pelosi apparently is saying no to that. And I just had this quick fantasy, this thing that we all do this every now and then. Just imagine something. What if the American people as a whole just said, well, you know what? Now, look, I'm not for a bunch of bailouts. What I'm for is a government that never would have exercised the power to force a hair salon to close at the point of a gun, which is what we just witnessed. It's really striking if you just think about it in its simplicity. We just had mayors, governors, and the federal government dictate that people doing perfectly legal, actually encouraged capitalistic things were forced at the point of a gun, because you could go to, you could be arrested, you could be fined, you could be jailed, you could be hauled off if you defied the mandates. What if the American people just looked at the situation and said, well, huh, they're not sending us any money, huh? Well, we're not going to send you any money either. That would be so empowering to the American. If you ever understood the power that you have over Washington, D.C., one of them is you could actually hold politicians accountable, what we've been talking about for most of the show today. But you also control the purse strings to a large degree. Wouldn't it just be fantastic if the American people, just as a group, just said, well, I understand you don't want to give us $1,200. And again, I'm not for all of these bailouts and this, you know, a government that takes $9,000 from the average American taxpayer every year and then gives you back $1,200 and acts like it's some act of charity and I'm supposed to pat them on the back, that does not impress me in the slightest bit. But it would be nice if American citizens grew a pair and said, look, you're dysfunctional. You obviously can't control your spending. You're not doing well with our money. And now you're trying to hold us over a barrel, shutting our businesses down and dangling $1,200 in front of us and some money for small business relief and that stuff. You know what we're going to do? We're just not going to send you any money. we're not going to be paying any federal income taxes until you guys get your act together and we once again restore some faith that you might be able to efficiently and effectively run a federal government. See, that's a power the American people have. No one dares exercise it. Many people brainwashed into the idea that that's just how you run this country. Mike, you don't understand. They need our money. We got to pay our military. I'm not going to get into the whole conversation. I can swat that argument away with one of Joe Biden's new fly swatters. But wouldn't it be nice to see the American people actually stand up? And this is something that could unite. I mean, I know Democrats would like to keep their tax money, too. We do some kind of a Mexican standoff, because ultimately, we'd all be better off keeping the money that we send to Washington, D.C., rather than sitting around with our hands cupped and our dirty faces down on our knees, waiting for them to drip a $1,200 check into our hand a couple of times a year. You'd be much better off to just pay nothing all year long, every year going forward. Oh, that's a power that American people have, but you won't, and you're also scared of the IRS. We've allowed, again, you two, you baby boomers and my generation, the Gen Xers out there, we have allowed a bureaucracy to grow in Washington, D.C. that the American people are scared of, refuse to go against, because in this great free country, everybody does something that they don't want to do, that harms them financially, takes a lot of time. We pay these taxes because we're scared. We're scared of our federal government. I don't know who it was, one of the founding fathers is, you know, you don't want to be scared of your government, a free society. The government is scared of the people. Well, that has been flipped on its head, I don't know, 100 years ago, I guess. We're pretty much steeped in it now. But it would just be nice to say, Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump, Steven Mnuchin, y'all take a break. Take a breather. We don't need the $1,200. Don't even worry your pretty little heads about it. We're just going to keep what we earn. Yeah, it's just a dream, I know. Makes me smile, though, just to think that there could be a country out there somewhere, sometime in the future, or sometime in the... Oh, there was one in the past, around 1776. That's what we did to the British. Pretty much just said, you know what? Yeah, keep your armies, keep all the things that your empire offers. Well, we're good over here. You're just not going to get anything else from us. We'll just try it that way. Worked out pretty well for a while. Then the American people were corralled right back into a system of taxation that the British would have been envious of back in the 1700s. We allow ourselves to be strip-mined by our own government on a daily basis in this country and don't say a peep about it. All right, I'll play something that'll get you more on my side. A good Democrat campaign ad when we come back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment here. 840,000 Americans filed for new first-time unemployment benefits. Quadruple what is normal for the United States prior to the COVID. Nobody's really talking about it. But the stock market's pretty much flat today. Usually the stock market trades up on that because they think, oh, it must mean they're going to really need more stimulus. I was looking at a market watch. Regeneron stock still doing well, just to let you know. Man, I wish I could get a hold of. Is there any way, you know, they've got people, they've got these high-frequency traders in Wall Street, and what they do essentially is they front-run trades. They've got these computers that can watch incoming orders come. It's pretty staggering. I'm actually pretty impressed with the technology. If they see a big block of IBM shares about to trade, they can jump in, buy the shares, and then sell them to the person that was about to buy them, you know, by marking it up a tenth of a cent or whatever. You do that with enough frequency, thus the term high-frequency. You make money every single day. Most of these high-frequency trading operations, their profitability, they have, you know, they'll trade for like, you'll see a statistic, 568 trading days. They had two down days. Well, pretty good job if you can get it. I wish I had like something where I could get in front of a a Trump tweet or something. If I knew that he or one of the people in the administration was going to come out and tout one of these companies, because they all pop. So we're up about 2% today. Regeneron is up a little bit yesterday as well. So, you know, I mean, you get 2 or 3% a day, you know, do the math over the course of a year, you can acquire some real wealth. But I was looking at MarketWatch, and this is just, I talk a lot about the what I believe to be the arrogance of the medical system here in this country. As a matter of fact, I call them the medical mafia. Up at the top level, no insult to you doctors and nurses. You're doing what you can, trapped in a bad system as far as I'm concerned. But yesterday, the New England Journal of Medicine came out and said, this is the headline on MarketWatch, New England Journal of Medicine says Trump should be voted out over pandemic management as U.S. death toll nears 212,000 people. Now, that's a little interesting to me, New England Journal of Medicine being kind of the standard bearer for the American medical system, right? I mean, this is the authority. They said they make a lot of pronouncements from there. They have really guided us for years in the medical system. Do you know what the third leading cause of death in the United States is? No, it's not coronavirus. It's medical mistakes. Medical mistakes, I believe, kill somewhere around 250,000 people a year. That's each and every year. So if it's even be to believed that 212,000 people have died from coronavirus, and I do not accept that fact, it's too much evidence to the contrary that most of those numbers are people dying of other things just with COVID. But if you were to even believe the 212,000 figure, and if you were even to believe that for some reason Donald Trump is the entire reason that those people died, I got to tell you, he still isn't beating the American Medical Association and the New England Journal of Medicine and the medical mafia here that kills 250,000 people each and every year. Maybe they should spend a little bit of time looking at themselves. Now, this is not that statistic, that 250,000 statistic. That's not people who came in on death's door and they just happened to die while under medical care. No, that is people going through routine surgeries, being given wrong prescriptions, charts read wrong. It's medical mistakes that kill 250,000 people a year. So if I was the New England Journal of Medicine, I might do a little self-reflection before I go out there and start laying blame at somebody else. I promise this. I'm not really even in the mood to play it right now, but I will anyway. It's pretty funny. I didn't know. It was the first time I'd seen it yesterday. I don't do Twitter. I'm out of the loop because I don't do any social media. So you might have heard this before. It's got some good visuals too, but I thought it was pretty funny because it goes back to the question I was asking earlier. Why is the Republican Party not just poised to sweep through everything? And I know a lot of your answers inside your heads are, oh, they are. You just wait and see. All the polls are wrong. Well, we'll see. The Republicans did lose the House of Representatives in 2018. The Democrats had already gone pretty much nutso back in 2016, yet somehow they still took the House. So it's not like you got a track record of large success to say, oh, of course. I don't know how the Republicans lost the House of Representatives in 2018. I mean, they're a terrible party, but they're not the Democrats. But listening to this ad, which is really, I mean, very accurate, it's tongue-in-cheek, but boy, it's accurate. And I just ask, why in the world does this campaign season require so much money on the Republican side to run when you're running against this?
Are you sick and tired of your calm, peaceful life? Are you sleeping too well at night? Is your city too safe? Well, not anymore. Introducing Democrats. Politicians so incompetent, they'll fill your neighborhood with riots, looting, rampant violence, and even homelessness. The secret is a special blend of corruption and good old-fashioned stupidity. No more pesky law and order. When Democrats are in charge, nobody's safe. Simply vote for Democrats, sit back, and watch your neighborhood burn to the ground. But wait, vote for Democrats now, and they'll include rolling blackouts, election fraud, cancel culture, taxes, and more taxes. Democrats, bringing chaos right to your front door.
I mean, I tell you, it's pretty accurate. That's what the Republicans are running against. I just find myself scratching my head a little bit as to why they need to spend a nickel against this right now. But again, you know, I look at 2018 and I go, they lost. And Let me just tell you, I guess I got time to read this real quick. I actually agreed. I'm not a Breitbart fan. Breitbart is a bubble publication for people who just want to be convinced that everything that Trump does and everything the Republicans does is perfect. And it's just not the case. But I found myself agreeing with somebody here. Who is this guy? I usually can't stand his articles, I'll be honest with you. John Nolte. He's a big propagandist, but he did a piece talking about Trump versus Biden. Now, here's his description so that I get you on my side. He says, Biden is awful, terrible person, terrible candidate, corrupt to the core. Entire family is corrupt. He's a racist. He abuses women. He's stupid. He's an old man, an enfeebled old man. Refuses to answer tough questions about fairly important issues like stacking the Supreme Court and killing the Senate filibuster. He'll be a terrible president. And that's his supposition. And I think there's most people listening to me would absolutely agree with that. But what the rest of the story goes on to say is that what's happening right now is that the Democrats' strategy is to put all of the focus on Donald Trump. Donald Trump loves that. He wants the focus on him. He steps in front of the focus constantly. This guy, Nolte, with Breitbart, a rock rib conservative, says Trump isn't helping. Sorry, he's just not. Love the guy. Gonna vote for him. He's not helping. Be nice if he could calm down some. People would like that. He promised he would be a normal president. The China flu would have been a good time to prove he could be a normal president. Sure would be nice if he'd start flubbing while white supremacy questions. Now, I got to disagree with that. I think Trump's on the record saying that enough times. But the point being that this is what I'm seeing. Again, as an outsider, people don't want to hear it. But this election has become entirely about Donald Trump. And so all of that violence in the street, all of that chaos and stuff, while the Democrats are making all these terrible mistakes, Donald Trump is stepping in front of it to bring the spotlight back to him. And it's not working. Now, again, I know I've been told, don't worry. There's going to be this huge Republican landslide. You're going to see more people love Trump. They won't tell pollsters, blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of things. But again, I keep looking at 2018 and saying Trump was in office then. Democrats were as nutso as they are today back in 2018. Somehow they took the House of Representatives, so counting them out and pretending that there is this going to be this red wash across the country, I think is a little short-sighted. I guess we'll see. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.